from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Well, I want to ask you to just think back for a moment as you were going through your life. How many times did you move? Think about that. How many times did you move? And then I want you to think about how did you feel about the move? Like, my mother lived in the same house for almost 60 years. But when she was 90 and fell, she had to move. That was a tough move. Because when you move, you have to make new friends, if possible. And it's an unfamiliar place. You know, when you're home for 59 years, it's a familiar place. So you know that. And so moving is difficult. As a United Methodist pastor, I've moved a few times. And each church that I served, there was always that unfamiliarness. You know, we had to get familiar with one another. And, you know, sometimes the pastor who's new has ideas and the church has a way of doing things. And so it can be difficult for a while to get that marriage going. But in the end, as I think back, you know what the blessing was of moving? You know, I thought sometimes that it would be great just to serve a church like this for 40 years, and that would be wonderful. And yet, there's been a blessing in all the moves. You know what that blessing was? I met people with the gift of generosity. And that gift came out in different ways. I think of my first full-time pastorate. There was a young lady, and she wasn't young, but she was a wonderful lady. Her name was Mildred. And Mildred didn't have a lot of money. And yet, but Mildred had this gift of generosity, and she would hear about somebody who was sick, and so she would cook up a meal, and she would go over, and she would even stay with these people if they needed someone to have extended care. She just had that gift of just reaching out without hesitation. Or Bob, who in my separate pastorate, he was a pillar of the church. Do you know why he was a pillar of the church? Not because he tithed, he did tithe, but because he led mission trips. He had a heart for those people in need, the down and outers, and he reached out to them. He had the gift of generosity, and it was not money, it was love. And so all of this time, you know, I'm learning from these people. I'm to be their pastor, and yet I'm learning from them about this powerful gift of generosity. Well, you probably have in mind people right now, don't you, who have that gift of generosity. And the Apostle Paul was a very learned man. And when he was a Pharisee, he was rising up into the ranks, and he was well known, and yet he was a very angry, self-righteous person. But when he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, guess what? His heart was touched, and now he could write something like in 1 Corinthians, where he was encouraging this church that had all kinds of abundance, money-wise. I mean, if you look at where Corinth is, it has two places where commerce could come in by boat. And so it was a flourishing community, and so there was a lot of wealth there. And Paul had started that church, and now he's encouraging them after a year's time that they were collecting for the poor churches, the saints that were beautiful people. And if you read Philippians chapter 4, you'll read about Paul writing to the church at Philippi who didn't have anything, but yet they were the first to help Paul in his missionary journeys to fund those. And so Paul is encouraging them that now, after a year, to follow through on what they said they were going to do. And it was beautiful. And that's why Paul wrote, and I encourage you, by the way, the story really begins about this in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. So when you go home or whenever, read chapter 8 and then chapter 9, because it'll make a little more sense to you. But here's the point, dear friends, is that Paul talks about the indescribable gift of God's grace and how that just, when people experience that, it just spreads. It multiplies. It's the gift of, you know, the ministry of multiplication. And people's lives are touched and changed. I'll give you a quick example. Many years ago, just before actually I was going to be going into ministry, I was a teacher. And our church wanted to start small group ministry. And maybe you've heard of this, Serendipity. His name was Lyman Coleman. And back in the late 70s, Lyman Coleman started this small group stuff where it was called Serendipity. And it was really good stuff. So a group of us from our church went up to get trained. And it was a whole day. It went from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock up in Cleveland. And so we were there, and the first thing he did was, this was probably almost 800 people in this place. And so he put us in groups of 8. Then we moved after a little bit to groups of 4. And finally we were one-on-one with a stranger, and that was the whole idea. And the point being is that by the end of the day, that stranger had become a cherished friend. That was the serendipity. The serendipity was that indescribable gift that God's grace is about. It lightens people up. It helps us to get to know one another. It binds us together. It's a powerful gift that's indescribable because it's grace. It's amazing. And so I want to tell you what happened at the end of the day. So at the end of the day, we're with our one person that had become a friend. And Lyman Coleman instructed us to look in our pocketbooks or our wallets and give a symbolic gift to your friend that really meant something. Well, I had remembered that in those days there was this movement called a cross in your pocket. Maybe you remember it. But I had a little cross, and so I gave him, my friend, that cross and prayed that, you know, Jesus would continue to touch his life, that he died, you know, God's grace, that whole thing. And my friend gave me a very special gift. And so we're just ending up, and this is so powerful. And I happened to see these people, these two people. One was a Catholic priest. And there was kind of a commotion. People were talking, and you know how people talk, and it was buzzing. And so I went over, and here, the gift that the Catholic priest had given to his new friend was the keys to his car. And the keys to his car. And at the end, the gentleman, his friend, was just going to hand it because it was symbolic, right? It was, and he wouldn't take the keys back. And so it was so powerful to think that this Catholic priest took it to heart, that this grace was so powerful that he could give his car away and give ourselves away. And that's what Paul was trying to say to the Christians at Corinth, and what he's trying to say to you and to me, that each one of us, you know, it's not always natural to be generous. But when we experience God's grace in Jesus Christ, it overflows. That's what Paul's saying. That it doesn't, there's the seed is, can you imagine the 800 people in that room when we had that serendipity tree? 800 people were sharing those gifts of love. That's powerful, dear friends. I'll finish with this. I served this little church in Captiva, Florida, and on our last Sunday in April, it's a seasonal church, I encouraged the congregation to participate in a program between Easter and Pentecost. You know, if between Easter and Pentecost, sometimes we get lost, and the church gets lost, and that was really the beginning of the church, wasn't it? Well, anyhow, I used this program. It was called 50 Days of Prayer for 5 People. And so I encouraged people to pray for those 50 days between Easter and Pentecost. And dear friends, I've been receiving these blessings from folks who said, I'm so glad that I was willing to pray for these 5 people for 50 days. How powerful it was. And I could just imagine the seeds of love that were growing through prayer. And then at the end, what we do is we write a note to these folks. And we say, I've been praying for you. I picked my 3 children. And my kids were just awestruck. You're praying for me, Dad? It was so powerful to hear from them. Well, dear friends, that's the message tonight. It's thank God for that indescribable gift. You've experienced it. You've spread the love. So let us continue to share that gift of generosity, dear friends.